Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to The Exchange. This is Cheryl Castile. My guest in the studio today, Caleb Elliott, is an incredibly talented young man. He's a singer-songwriter, plays instruments very, very well, and we're going to talk about what those instruments are. And he had his debut release come out this past year, Where You Want to Be, and we're going to hear some things from that and kind of catch up on what Caleb's been doing and who he is. So welcome, Caleb.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Yeah, it's great to have you on. Now, like I said, I've never had you on the show before, so I do want to start out. First, I'm going to say it's interesting. When I first found out about you, what I was hearing about you was, you got to go see that young guy that plays the cello. You know, and that, because that's not a common instrument that you tend to see or hear at some of the places you were playing at. And with some of the people you were playing with. And I'm curious, was that your first instrument in life?
Absolutely, yes.
And so how did music come into your life? How did...
Well, my mother encouraged it greatly.
Did she play anything?
Yeah, my mom's a great piano player, actually.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah.
And so whenever...
Did she play more than around the house, or did she? I mean, was
She played in the church growing up.
Oh, she did?
Yeah,
okay,
absolutely.
Yeah, yeah.
And, like, her father was a minister, and she played in the church, and then my father was a minister, and so she played in the church her whole life.
Wow.
So, yeah, my mom made sure each one of us had a classical instrument under our belts. Mm. That was, like, a thing, you know?
Did you you took lessons?
Yes, I took lessons from third grade. It was about that time whenever she was like, okay, it's time to pick one.
Yeah, yeah.
And she took me to a symphony. And said, what do you like up there? What do you want to pick? And I looked at the big drums, like the timpanis, and I was like, man, I want to do that. And so I didn't get to do that, obviously.
Yeah.
She nudged me towards the cello, and I'm very glad she did.
Yeah. So. You know, and when I think of the cello, too, in terms of, you know, I think a number of us have had friends who played, you know, growing up in school orchestras and things like that. But when Yo-Yo Ma kind of really came, I mean, that...
Oh, he's phenomenal.
Yeah, that's who introduced a lot of people to the cello in a different way than they ever thought about the cello before.
Oh, absolutely.
You know?
Yeah, it's funny. when we were making this record, Tony would joke and call me Khalib Mama, like as a joke.
Yeah.
That was one of my quasi-nicknames.
Yeah, there you go.
But I mean, I can't shake a stick at Yo-Yo. Oh, my gosh. He's the best.
But, you know, it's so nice that there's somebody who came on the music scene that made the cello a cool instrument for all kinds of genres of music. You know what I mean? Because so many people just – it was a cool instrument with specific genres. You know, but then all of a sudden, I think it opened a lot of people's eyes and ears who weren't necessarily, you know, not musicians, you know, to start paying attention to, and what a great instrument that is, and how does that fit into that, you know?
Yeah. It fills a sonic space that, you know, a lot of other instruments don't.
Yeah. So. And, you know, as long as we're talking about that, I'm going to jump ahead, and then we'll go back. Because I'm curious, as a songwriter, what can you do with songs that you are writing with the cello that you maybe necessarily wouldn't be able to do without that instrument? Hmm. You know, when you talk about how it fills a certain space.
Well, for me, songs begin with melodies in my head that I can't get rid of, you know, and sometimes the voice isn't the right instrument for it. And so the cello works great, you know, like on the title track for this record, Where You Want to Be, that soaring line, it repeats a few times through the song. It was just had to be cello. You know?
There
was no other instrument it should be.
Yeah, that's right.
And of course, we doubled it with Mitch Reed playing some fiddle on it, and so it just came across really great. They say the cello is one of the closest instruments to the human voice. That's what I've been told.
Ah, sure. Okay. There was a woman one time. Where was I at Nunu's in Arneville, and it was at one of the jam. It was a Cajun jam session, and she came from Baton Rouge with a cello, and it was, and that's, you got discussed that day, you know, because it was kind of the second time that people saw and got to hear someone playing. She was very, very good, and she was classically trained, and she had never been to a Cajun jam session before, but boy, did that, you know, that instrument really fit in. You're talking about hearing the melodies in your head. Do you Do you record that then immediately? Do you sing it into your phone or something?
My voice memos on my phone are hundreds deep.
Yeah, yeah.
And then a lot of them are only just, you know, snippets of half a minute or so.
Yeah. Is there certain times that you've noticed when that happens, or does it just – there's no pattern it follows?
Sometimes it happens when I have a guitar in my hand. Sometimes it happens when I'm driving.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. You definitely have to take advantage of inspiration whenever it strikes.
Yeah.
Because there are times when it doesn't feel as fluent.
That's right.
And you're trying to force it out. So.
Well, let's go back.
All right.
To when you were young. So you started playing cello.
Yes, ma'am.
And that was in – you started playing in school?
Third grade. They didn't start offering school lessons where I was from until fourth grade. So I had a year –
Can you grow up in Natchitoches?
Yeah,
right?
Natchitoches,
that's
Louisiana.
A beautiful town.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. You've been there before?
A lot.
Right on. Right on. And you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, started playing in third grade and then started going to music hour at my elementary school in fourth grade. And so, yeah, it was the only instrument I had until I was 13 and I found a guitar in my basement.
And what kind? Acoustic or electric?
It was a classical guitar, and where like the bridge was like coming off of the guitar. It was so old and beat up, and it was missing strings. And so I figured out how to tune it, and I went to the guitar shop and was like, "Hey, what do I do with this?"
You know? Yeah.
And they tuned it and put new strings on and all that, and I went home and I was like, "Okay, now what do I do?" And I found this 1950 something Mel Bay guitar chord book. And, man, it was on.
Yeah, yeah. You know, you think of how many people, where they would have been had they not discovered a Mel Bay chord book or something, you know.
It was so old. The pages were, like, brown. And,
yeah. So you started playing guitar then.
Mm-hmm. And it was funny. My mom wasn't exactly, like, she was really worried about me discovering the guitar because the cello at that point, I'd already invested years in it, And so the rule was I had to practice my cello an hour before I could play my guitar.
Yeah.
And so that was the growing up rules.
But you still enjoyed playing the cello at that
absolutely.
Time, too.
But it was one of those things where, as much as I love the cello, like this new, sexy instrument.
Yeah,
like, I want to go play that.
And so what kind of music did you first start playing on the guitar?
Man, it's interesting because I think a lot of people came to the guitar via, bands you hear on the radio. Yeah. But my background, I wasn't exposed to pop culture really growing up. And so I didn't have anything to base what I was doing on. I just knew I liked the instrument and playing. And I'd heard the guitar used in like Christian music before.
Sure.
And so I was really making up my own stuff, and my dad being a minister, early on I was writing like worship type stuff, And just
Did you play in church?
No, I didn't. Not until like the high school years.
Okay.
The church I grew up in when I was really young was so conservative. We didn't have anything but like a piano and an organ.
Okay.
Tambourines and stuff.
Yeah.
And hymnals.
And hymnals. That's right. Yeah.
So that's what I was playing at first. 13, I was playing guitar and just making up stuff. I was scribbling down words and chord progressions and staying up all night playing guitar.
I mean, boy, it was in you.
Well, I guess.
Yeah, I mean,
this is how I've described it before. Like, the cello was amazing, and I loved it. But I never improvised on my cello or anything like that. I was always learning a new Bach piece or something, or a new piece for an upcoming gig. But the guitar, like. There was nothing there. I didn't have a teacher telling me I needed to learn a new song or anything. I could. It was a blank canvas for me.
Yeah.
And so it was more of a creative outlet for
That's
me.
That's right. You know, but I think what a nice thing for you, though, to have because I've listened to so many different people talk about this where, each instrument they had, they learned through lessons. And then people who are just totally self-taught. I mean, that's nice to have that balance of that whole process of how you learned the cello and you were taught that versus you picking up the guitar and figuring out what to do with it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, with cello, it was like, you spend so much time at the beginning with it's discipline,
that's right.
You have to hold the bow a certain way and you have to, you have to be sitting a certain way. And like I would do this thing where, you know, you're supposed to have your feet on the ground a certain distance apart. And sometimes I would put them together whenever I was sitting and playing, and my instructor would come up and bump me.
Sure.
And I'd almost fall over. And he's like, put your feet in the right place.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And if I put my pinky on the wrong spot on the bow, he's like, he stops me mid-performance. He's like, yeah, put your pinky in the right spot.
That's know? Right. But that's okay.
Yeah, and it was great. Yeah. And it served me well, and I'm not complaining, you know.
So, yeah.
But it's just, it was a different thing, you know, with guitar. I'm like, I can do what I want.
That's
know?
Right. That's right. So, did, how old were you when electric guitar entered in?
You know, it's funny. It still really hasn't.
Okay.
I'm an acoustic guitar guy.
Because you do play often on, you play electric often, don't you?
I played a little on the first track of the record.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's, I'm an acoustic guitar guy. I don't know. I love the acoustic guitar. And I love electric as well. But, you know, it's acoustic has always been more accessible. You can take it with you out, you know, and drive to some remote location and write a song.
That's
you
right.
Know? So electric guitar is amazing, and I'm sure at some point I'm going to be playing more electric guitar. But right now I'm still really into playing my acoustic.
Yeah, so what you're doing.
Yeah.
Well, let's listen to we're going to listen to the title track, because you talked about how, you know, the cello, what you're doing with the cello and guitar mm-hmm. on that song. How long ago did you write that?
Where You Want to Be. Let's see. It's actually, of the songs on this record, that's probably the most recent one that I wrote. I wrote it within a year of making this record. Yeah, it's not that old. It's probably a year and a half or 2 years old.
Okay. Yeah. And I want to let everybody know, and then we're going to come back and talk about how that came to be. It's so fun because we generally don't – I don't get to do this often on this show, but we're going to listen to this on vinyl. So this is Caleb Elliott, Where You Want to Be.
Sleight of hand, oh well, he had it coming anyway, with all the hurtful things he'd say. You know you're never gonna make it out of this place, young man. Ooh. Ooh. So you find a new religion, you try to make a change, but change is hard. It seems like every day's the same, so many habits there to break. And then you start to understand why the old man lost his faith. So it doesn't matter, pay no mind to that useless chatter. You'll get there, just live your life at your own pace. Wake up and do what you can each day. Someday I hope you'll find that life was better because you tried. You know you tried, and no one can take that away. Thank you.
That was Caleb Elliott. Where You Want to Be. If you just joined us, we do have Caleb Elliott live in the studio today on The Exchange. Beautiful, beautiful song. Who played on that with you?
That one is Mitch Reed, Joseph Butts, and myself.
Joseph on bass?
Yes.
Yeah.
Dr. Joseph Butts on upright bass, and Mitch Reed on fiddle.
Yeah, beautiful. You were talking a bit about some inspiration.
Oh, yeah.
For writing that song.
I remembered that song. I had the idea for that song. It was, you know, like most of my tunes, I have the idea and I sit on it for a long time. And I had been working on it recently at the time. And my manager, Todd Mouton, had been listening to Alejandro Escovedo's 13 Years. And he burned that CD for me. And I checked it out. And it was kind of like his nudge of like, hey, man, more cello, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And it totally... was the right call, you know, and so I ended up recording a demo with the cello on it, and it played a big part in the inspiration for me, you know, with that song.
Yeah. Do the words ever come first for you before the melody, or does it seem to be a pattern where the melody comes in?
I'm addicted to melody.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
My mother's name is Melody.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Oh, very cool. It was meant to be.
It gets a little cornier, too, because my sister's name is Harmony.
Really? That's a piece, you know, you've got some in your bio that says something. That's where that comes in. Interesting.
That's right.
Yeah. So you get the melody down.
Yep. Yep.
And is it that something you're hearing strikes up thoughts or
a lot
story,
of times I think lyrics are born in my subconscious, because what I do is I'll be, you know, playing the song and humming the melody. And I call it scatting, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Like I'll just, as I'm humming this melody and really concentrating on the music of what I'm doing, the certain words will come out, and I'll kind of build songs a lot of times off of that. And that's just an example of how it works sometimes.
Sure, yeah.
You know, time will find you where you want to be. That's a kind of, you know, you can build the whole song off of that refrain.
Well, how'd you end up living in Lafayette? How'd you come here?
I came down to UL.
Okay. Mm-hmm. That's what brought you here.
Absolutely. And okay. I had no idea. I love Natchitoches, but I didn't want to go to college there. I wanted to move to go to college.
Yeah.
And so
And you discovered the music scene.
Yeah, absolutely. I had no idea what I was in store
for. And the music scene discovered you. Yeah. Ah, so that's how you ended up here. Okay. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm curious, Caleb. There's also something that I read about you where you got to play at Carnegie Hall.
Yes, ma'am.
How'd that come about?
Well, I had a great instructor growing up, a cello instructor, and also the orchestra director at my high school was just really, really involved and helped out a great deal. And she would find out about these competitions. And so she encouraged me to audition for this National Youth Honor Orchestra.
Wow.
And so she got with my personal instructor, and we figured out what songs for me to learn, and I recorded them in this hall up at Northwestern State.
Yeah.
And sent in my audition tape and didn't know what to expect, and next thing I know they were like, you know, I got accepted. And so
wow, how old were you then?
I was 17.
17. So what did that experience all consist of? When you got accepted to that, what did you have to do then?
Well, they sent me the music, and it was Shostakovich, I think.
Hmm.
I can't remember which symphony, but I was flown up to went up to New York with my family. We were there for about 4 or 5 days, and it's funny. My family, it was my mom, my sister, and my stepdad. They were on the out on the city the whole time.
Yeah, yeah.
But like I had like 4 rehearsals a day.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think I got to see the Empire State Building like one evening.
Yeah.
But other than that, man, it was these big, place we were just rehearsing the whole time, and then
that culminated in like a final performance.
Yeah, we performed it and performed that on the last evening, and then flew out the next day.
And then you did like a tour. Oh no, you flew back home.
Yeah.
So it was like you did all, and you go and you perform for that one big concert. What a cool experience, huh?
Absolutely.
Wow. I mean, because not a lot of people who could say that they played at Carnegie Hall.
It was really cool, man.
Did you know at that time? Did you understand
the magnitude?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I guess not as much as I do now, but sure. I did understand Carnegie Hall is Carnegie Hall.
Yeah.
But it was great. And, you know, they have National Youth Honor Orchestras like that people can audition for. But it was so cool to be around a lot of those other kids from different parts of the country that were pursuing, you know, similar paths as me. But it's crazy how like, some of the kids brought cellos that were made in, like, the 1700s.
Wow.
And, like, 1800s. And my cello was made in 1997, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm like, hey, guys, what's up? You know, they're like, man.
But listen to this.
Yeah, and also the audition piece that I picked, like, you know, a lot of the kids there were like, man, you played that? I'm like, yeah. I'm like, man, you must have played it really well because, like, you know, I picked this one and he played, you know, they play, it's just, they're coming from different places.
Sure.
And apparently the piece that I played to audition was not as difficult as theirs or something,
yeah,
but
yeah.
Apparently I played it.
You nailed it.
I guess.
Well, you know, when you listen to the music you play now, so, you know, you started out, mom played in church, you were trained classically. What did you start listening to that influenced what's your playing and writing now? What kind of bands or what artists did you – who caught your ear? What'd you start listening to?
Okay. Well, you know, as I said, grew up in the religious household and a lot of church music growing up.
Yeah.
But at about the time I discovered the guitar, a lot of changes had happened in my life. You know, like my father had passed at that point.
Oh, okay.
And my mom was in school and we were trying out all these different churches and stuff, and because my dad was a minister,
sure.
And all of a sudden we had no church anymore.
Yeah.
So I got to see contemporary Christian music, I guess,
yeah,
for the first time at that point in my life.
Yeah.
And so bands like Third Day and the Newsboys and sure. Audio Adrenaline, like, that was kind of my first glimpse at, like, you know, rock and roll and stuff.
Sure, yeah.
And Switchfoot. I don't know if you ever heard of them.
What? Why does that sound familiar?
They had a song called "Meant to Live" that was a hit a couple of years ago.
Okay.
And another one called "Dare You to Move."
Okay.
They've had a couple of hits, but like that band was like, man, I couldn't get enough of them. Like,
yeah.
I bought every record they ever made. That they didn't have a break until like their fifth record, so I owned like all the previous,
all the prior.
Yeah, and so that band really, really was kind of one of my first loves in that genre, I guess, one
yeah.
of my first big influences, I guess. But, you know, oftentimes people ask me this question and I'm like, man, you know, to me, my biggest influences were just the church music growing up,
mm-hmm.
and the music around the house of my mom playing mm-hmm. piano or my brother playing violin or my sister playing the harp or my other brother playing the trumpet. So that and...
Oh, your brother played the trumpet.
Yeah.
Wow, and the harp in the house. Jeez, what a great household.
My mom made sure that we all had these instruments to play. So those were kind of like, that's my roots, you know,
yeah.
is hearing all that stuff and the classical music. You
yeah.
know, it's just, so it was like, I didn't really start writing with the expectation or the goal or anything of sounding like the Beatles or,
sure.
or Paul mm-hmm. Simon or even Switchfoot. You know, I just
yeah.
I was just making stuff up that I liked.
What was coming out of your brain and
yeah.
out of your heart and
mm-hmm.
yeah. I'm curious, Caleb, was there a time that you can, you know, consciously kind of remember where you made a decision, man, I'm pursuing music? I mean, this is it.
Absolutely.
I'm going for it.
Absolutely, there is.
Yeah.
I'll lead up to that by saying I came to UL in 04 majoring in biology.
Okay.
I actually graduated in biology, but about 3 years into that, well, wait, I'm skipping ahead. I came down on an orchestra scholarship with my cello.
Ah, okay.
Majoring in biology and kind of got burnt out on playing in the orchestra at about 2 years in and didn't really – so I kind of put down my cello for a while. But about the third or fourth year of college, because it took me 5 years to graduate.
Yeah, yeah.
But about that time, I was like, man, you know, I don't really want to do what I'm majoring in. But I'm so far down the road, I don't want to start over or quit. I,
mm-hmm.
you know, tops. I had tops, so that was going to run
sure.
out. I was like, I'm just going to finish. But I think I want to play music. And I remember when I told my parents that, because I had known that for a couple months, and when I was like, this is what I want to do.
When you were going to college, were you gigging out or anything?
Yeah.
Oh, you were. Okay.
It was after I was no longer in the orchestra, and didn't have that scholarship. I had another scholarship for about a year. And then I was waiting tables. And,
yeah.
And at that point, I saw a couple people around town playing these gigs, you know, playing cover tunes.
Sure.
And getting paid.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm like, wait a minute, I could do that.
Yeah.
I already have, you know, a handful of covers that I've just learned for fun. And so I just went home and I learned about 20 or 30 more, and I had a nice arsenal of about 60 or so cover songs, and started handing out business cards and went around everywhere that had.
It's a lot of work.
Well, booking gigs isn't something you just do.
No,
you know, I guess
uh-uh.
It does take work and research and making contacts. But yeah, I started doing that and started making more money than I was making waiting tables.
Yeah,
and so I quit that and I ended up putting myself through school the last, I think, year or two doing that.
Very cool.
And it's kind of how that's been my bread and butter, really.
Yeah,
And any other gig I can get, you know. And at this point, I've got like hundreds of cover songs. Even
though that's you. Beside your own.
Making up for lost time, not knowing pop music growing up. That's what it is.
There you go.
That's what it's been.
That's what you're doing. Well, you know, I want to, what should we listen to here? I'm gonna play my song, and then we'll come. And then we'll come back.
You mean my song? Okay.
Yeah, it's your song, but it's my favorite one.
You can have that's good. You can have it.
And then we'll come back, and we're gonna talk about it. But this is we're gonna listen to "Run," Cecil, off of the album. We'll do that. So this is, you know, the thing about you have "Run" on the CD too that you brought in.
Live?
Yeah. No. Okay. Well, this is Caleb Elliott. This is off his release, "Where You Want to Be," on vinyl. This is "Run." Favorite Caleb Elliott song, that was "Run." This is The Exchange on KRVS 88.7 FM or on the web at krvs.org. We are listener supported. Please continue to help us out. So many of you out in the community have made it possible for us to continue all of the locally produced programs as well as the programs that we do get from NPR. Check out the website. It's a safe, secure site. You can help support us there and like us on Facebook. We are a public service of the University of Louisiana at Lafayette. My guest today, if you're just joining me, is musician, singer, songwriter Caleb Elliott. And the song we just heard, Run, is off of his debut CD, Where You Want to Be. Let's talk about who played on that one.
All right. Well, some of that fantastic guitar work is our good friend Sam Broussard.
Yeah.
It's funny. What?
Well, tell me about the – because the one thing I heard on the – on the headphones that I didn't hear before, and I asked you if there's a banjo.
Yeah.
But you said it's a...
It's a banjitar. Yeah, it's like...
Yeah,
a,
and you're not pulling my leg. That's a real instrument.
No, if you look in the album, it's credited as a banjitar.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he just... He has one of those?
Yes, absolutely.
Huh.
It's funny, you know, making the record, we everyone that played on the record, you know, we were there, we were to record them and everything, but Sam... Like, we sent him the tracks, and he worked on everything, like, at his house, because he's a wizard. And
yeah, yes, he is.
A wizard has to have their space like that.
Yeah.
And so it's funny, he sent us back
had you played
these
with
different
him live?
Tracks of, like, different options. You know, here's one in this style,
and here's one in that style.
And here's a little banjitar. I'm like, what?
Yeah, what is it? Very cool.
And, man, it was just phenomenal. You know?
Had you played with Sam, though, before you started sending him music?
Sam and I played a gig kind of during the making of the record together, and that I think that was the first time we'd ever played together. We played at Ogden Museum of Southern Art.
Oh, yeah. Very nice.
But that was kind of this record is really the beginning of he and I playing music together, but it's been awesome, man. We have a little trio together, he and myself and Callie Guidry.
Yeah. There's a voice, huh?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And also he's been playing with the band. We played at Festival International. And it's been great. It's been really cool.
Yeah. Do you remember the first paid gig that you played that was not church related?
Oh man!
Like
ever?
When you were going to yeah, ever? Yeah. Do you remember when
yeah,
you like when
I
you got up
so.
On stage by yourself and played?
Oh, you mean about? I was going to tell you like I played weddings in high school with my cello.
You did? Really?
Yeah. And also my sister, I told you she plays a harp.
Yeah.
She and I would play weddings, cello and harp.
Oh yeah, how beautiful.
We still do.
Yeah. Now, where does she live?
She lives in Natchitoches.
She's in Natchitoches. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a great – I mean, those are great gigs to get, too.
Absolutely.
You know, plus it's a wonderful thing for the family who's getting married.
I think my first time I ever got paid to play guitar and sing was at Bispanos, I think.
Yeah.
I'm not sure.
Do you remember when you started doing those gigs by yourself and doing covers?
Yeah.
Were you nervous or did it just feel
very – Oh, absolutely.
Very
you were. I was very nervous.
Yeah.
Yeah. I had no idea what I was doing,
but you did it.
Well, yeah, it was fun. It was nervous in a good way, I guess.
Yeah, you know, a couple of the times it's interesting to hear that. And you, like a lot of musicians, you know, start out doing a lot of covers because in a couple of the times that I have seen you perform live, you pull, you know, some covers in. But boy, you have a unique way of how you arrange. You know, and how you perform those songs. Have there been certain songs that you've heard of other people's that it's like, boy, I'm going to do this, and then it really you sit down and go to work at it about how I would like to present this piece?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, for me, learning another person's material, it's rewarding on several levels. You know, like first of all. You kind of get to look in at what, you know, that person, at their journey. You're getting a little bit of their expertise or their knowledge. And you always learn a new trick, you know.
Yeah.
When I learned Wild World by Cat Stevens, I learned a couple new tricks. You know, like he's a clever songwriter and guitar player and using those turns in there and stuff. But, like, it's also – I don't like – Sometimes I'll learn it specific, like just like that song, but a lot of times it's more fun to do it your own way.
Yeah.
You know, and your own arrangements or
your
own twists.
Your interpretation of that.
Yeah. And it also helps with keeping your sanity, I think, whenever you're having to play a lot of these kind of gigs.
Sure. That's right.
Because there's certain songs people want to hear and having to do them specifically like the artist that wrote them. It's just more fun to make it your own.
Yeah.
And a lot of times that'll change from gig to gig.
Yeah. Well, speaking of doing somebody else's song, you brought a CD in here that's some live.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to switch to that, Cecil. And you did a cover of Bone Rev. That you were just talking about, Sam Broussard.
Yeah, absolutely.
How did that – did Sam suggest that or had you heard
that?
No,
it was all on me.
Yeah, because I'm going to tell you something. I got to hear you guys play that live, what you were talking about, you and Sam and Callie. And I have always told Sam this, that it's one of my absolute favorite songs, but that was one of my favorite times I ever heard that song.
You ask who thought of doing that with this way. And, like, you know, I'd been hanging with Sam and playing music with him and I got familiar with the song Bon Rêve. I think it was at Balfa Camp last year. Seeing the Playboys play, and it was like one of those where I couldn't get out of my head.
Yeah,
you love the song as much, like, yeah, I do, and I had the idea because I brought my cello to Balfa Camp. I was like, man, I'm gonna play that on my cello.
Yeah,
because I'd seen, really, for what I acknowledge is one of the first times seeing some of the fiddle players singing and playing the fiddle, mm-hmm, and it was just them and a fiddle.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, man, why can't I do that with my cello?
That's right.
And that was kind of my first target. I'm like, I'm gonna do this. I'm gonna play cello and sing.
Very cool.
You know, and so that, I guess the first time I told Sam, I don't know if he was like, you know, I don't know how convinced he was.
Yeah.
But it's gone well, and it's been really cool, and I think it's been cool for all of us. You know.
Now on this, when I saw you do it, you switched off vocals. The two
of
you. Yeah,
absolutely.
Did.
Well, I mean, he wrote it, man.
Yeah, and do you do it on this version too?
Yeah,
you switch off.
Absolutely.
Very
and
cool.
The third vocalist you'll hear is Callie Guidry.
And a lot of people, too, will know Callie from playing with the Brard Family Band.
Absolutely.
You know, with Laura Huval and
she's Al's niece.
That's right.
And she's a fantastic drummer as well as a great singer.
She's a good drummer.
Oh, yeah.
That's how I first saw her, playing drums.
Mm-hmm.
I had no idea she sang the way she did.
Oh, yeah.
Well, let's listen. This is Bone Rev. It's Caleb Elliott, Sam Broussard, and Callie.
The song is called Sweet, Sweet Rain.
No.
So let's go.
The song is called Bon Rêve. If you know how to dance, or if you don't matter. Find somebody. Les poulets gratent. Oh. Lâcher sa grâce sous l'écho. La tessie plate, sous les couchers. J'offre les chances à l'éveil. Ça c'est tout, c'est les nouvelles ce soir. Bon du bon, les chéquins, les bons rêves. Thank you.
one of my favorite songs and one of my favorite versions that actually featured my guest today, Caleb Elliott, on cello and vocals, Sam Broussard on guitar and vocals. You had Callie Guidry on vocals, and that was Danny DeVilliers playing drums.
Yes, and Dr. Joe Butts playing bass.
Oh, yeah, and Joseph, yeah, playing bass. All mm-hmm. right. Was he playing electric or was he playing upright?
He's playing electric.
Right? Okay. One. All right. Mm-hmm. I liked what you said, too, before we listened to that song, Caleb, about when you do perform covers or you perform other people's music, that, because I don't often hear people describe it the way you did, that it, I learned some things. You know, I learned some tricks. Something they pulled out and did that. Well, I never tried that before, you mm-hmm. know. That's a really good way to go at that, because I think so many people, you know, and you're playing covers to make a living at times at certain places. But I think so many people tend to get into routine and they don't pay attention to what you talked about.
Yeah. It's good to challenge yourself, I guess.
Yeah. And then I would also think, you know, if Sam was sitting here, I'd ask him, but I would also think, you know, for somebody like him, it's a really interesting thing to play that with other musicians, you know, than the musicians like with Steve and them in the band that he's generally plays it, you know?
Absolutely.
You pull out some new things. This CD, you had a number of really talented guest musicians come together.
Absolutely.
For this. Susan Cowsill, mm-hmm. who I love.
Oh, yeah.
So she was saying on it, you had Tom Drummond, bass player from Better Than Ezra, Doug Below, who is from our area here, been based out of New Orleans for quite a while. Mm-hmm. And, of course, we talked about Mitch Reed, who... gifted.
Yes.
And then we talked about Sam. You also had Tony Daigle work with you.
Oh, yes.
They don't get any better than Tony.
Nope, not at all.
What did he bring to the project?
Oh, my gosh. The glue, the everything. We called him our spirit guide through the journey.
Did he shake some things up in terms of maybe how you first were going at certain things? And
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, it's Tony, I think, he's obviously got a great reputation in the studio, but mostly as an engineer, you know, like, mm-hmm. but he is a phenomenal producer.
Yes, he is.
And, like, if you look on the back of this record, he's the producer. He produced this record.
And guitar player.
He's great. Yeah.
Yeah, but
he played with Hadley for years.
Yeah, but he's, and I've just gotten to see him play, just him playing mm-hmm. too, you know.
He's a picker, man.
Yeah, he is. So, you know, coming together with him, how long did this process take for this CD?
It happened relatively quickly once the everything started moving. I'd say, gosh, you know, it was a couple of months, half a year, you know, the process, the whole record from start to finish.
The different guest musicians who worked with you, were there certain songs that you could hear, gosh, I'd like to pull him in, or how did that come together?
Well, it was really kind of a team decision, like with you know, who would really compliment this stuff. And like, you know, you mentioned Doug. Todd, my manager, Todd Mouton, has been friends with Doug for many years and suggested that we give Doug a call. And Tony was like, yeah, he'd be great.
Yeah.
And on the phone call that Todd made to Doug, and Doug was like, yeah, I'm interested, man. That sounds good. What kind of music is it? And Todd said, well, it's kind of like a Better Than Ezra type vibe. And he's like, oh, well, I know Tom, Tom Drummond, the bass player. Like, he might be down for playing. And Todd's
very
like,
cool.
All right, cool. So next thing you know, we're booking a date down at Fudge Studios in New Orleans.
Okay.
And we recorded Tom and Doug playing bass and drums all in one day down there. And so it couldn't have worked out better, man, because Tom's style and bass, like, suits the songs he played on just perfectly. He's one of those bass players that I think has a really distinct style, and is really good at his way of playing.
Very nice.
It just worked out great.
Yeah. See, so we're going to go back to the album, and the first song, just so you can cue it up, we're going to go now and then into Dear Julia. But these two songs, tell me about how those two songs came together.
All right.
And what's the history of?
Well, Dear Julia, I wrote a number of years ago. I think I was in college still. Yeah, I was in college. And, you know, it's it's a pretty straightforward, you know, young love type song. But the song Now, which we'll play right before Dear Julia, it's one of those things that happened in the studio that was really cool. I'm really happy that it happened. I had I had the music written for it as just an instrumental that I would, you know, I'd just kind of doodle around on. And I was playing it kind of in the background while they were like, it was a team of four of us that made the record. Aaron Thomas, who's here today, Todd Mouton, Tony Daigle, and myself. And I think it was one of those points during the work day where I was, you know, they didn't really need me. And I was sitting there just kind of fooling around on the guitar. Mm-hmm. And I played Now, which didn't even have a name at that point. And they kind of all turned around and were like, man, that's cool. And the idea was kind of born to put it on the record as like an interlude. Mm. And it fit perfectly as like an introduction to Dear Julia. But it's funny because I wrote it originally in the key of A, and I had to transpose it and write it and do an alternate tuning to put it in the same key as Dear Julia. And so that was a really cool thing that happened in the studio wouldn't have probably happened had not it been the you know, that circumstance, those group of guys, and have the ear for what I was doing.
That's right.
And so, yeah, that's how it happened.
All right, let's listen. We're going to first listen to Now and go into Dear Julia. This is Caleb Elliott.
Persistence, but I never thought that I would be to blame. I try to be what you need to let go and be loved, but I am blind and I'm out of my mind to think that is enough. I've never been in love, dear Julia. Well, I know that you believe in superstition, how every little thing revolves around the stars. I'd never be the one to pose the question, but don't you think it's a little bit bizarre that you never see the little things that make me call this love? But I am blind and I'm out of my mind to think they are enough. I've never been in love, dear Julia. I do require at least an explanation of why you had to leave me here this way. You did not want to have the conversation, so you left me wondering if I am to blame. I try to be what you would need to let go and be loved. Out of my mind to think that is enough.
Okay, if you're just joining us, this is KRVS on the Exchange, and that was Caleb Elliott. We started out with Now into Dear Julia, and that was from his debut CD, Where You Want to Be. Beautiful, Caleb. The music, the lyrics, all of that.
Thank you.
Was that just you playing, or who else played on?
On the first?
Okay. On both of those songs, who was?
Well, on the little intro Now, that was just me on guitar, and I think we had Mitch play some fiddle, and we did some cool stuff to it, like reversed it and added a bunch of effects to it.
Yeah.
And made it like this ambient sort of almost, is that a fiddle?
Yeah, 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 that's right.
But the track Dear Julia was, you know, the full shebang with Doug on drums and Tom drumming on bass.
Oh, so that's those guys played on this song.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And Susan did the background vocals. It's funny. Whenever Susan was up here singing the day in the studio, there was a lot of discussion on Dear Julia on whether or not she should sing the refrain with me, because a female voice singing to a female name.
Sure, that's right.
And we ultimately decided that we would just avoid it, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
And so we like put her all over the other parts of the tracks, you know. But the actual Dear Julia, you know, we had that one just the single my vocal. Because, you know, that was the decision we made that day, I guess.
Yeah, yeah. And I know we're going to run short on time here, but with vocals, when did you start paying attention to yourself as a singer? Does that go back to when you were quite young, or?
Oof.
I mean, you're not very old now, but.
You know, I never fancied myself as a singer until, I guess I kind of, out of necessity, when I started singing around town. I was like, okay, here, you know, I can sing these songs. And
is it something you consciously, did you put some work into? I mean, did you work
man,
on
I,
it or did you just?
I felt like my voice grew exponentially from the time I started singing cover songs.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, because it wasn't something I ever focused on in high school, you know, or trying to be a good vocalist or anything like that, because my mom and my sister were the vocalists, you know, they're the ones that could sing.
Okay.
And so when I got to college and I was writing songs, I even at that point still wasn't really thinking about my voice being, you know, it was just I was writing songs just because I was writing songs.
Yeah.
But I guess when the dream really started being heavy on me to make a record and I was making a living playing music, that's whenever I really started like trying to take care of my voice. And
because that's your other main instrument.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, you know, it's beautiful.
Thanks. But yeah, it was kind of almost always the afterthought for me, you know, and I think that, again, like I talked about me playing those cover songs all those years, and that, I think, grew my voice so much, just using it, you
know?
Sure, sure. So, yeah, that's, I guess, the story of the voice.
Very nice. Do you have any gigs coming up locally in the near future where people can come check you out? I do want to say, if you want to find out more about Caleb Elliott and his music, you can go to his website, and that's Caleb Elliott. And Elliott is two L's, two T's, ELLIOTTS .com, or not S, leave the S out of there, CalebElliott.com, or also check you out on Facebook too.
Facebook.com/CalebElliottMusic.
Yeah, yeah.
Like me, man.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Like him in more ways than one. Like his music, like him on Facebook.
Yeah, I've got some upcoming gigs locally. This Saturday, actually, Callie and I will be playing at Clementine's in New Iberia,
yeah,
which is a cool little spot. And next Friday, the 27th, I'll be at Poor Wine Bar in River Ranch.
Oh, very nice. Okay.
Yeah, it's a really cool little spot.
By yourself?
I'll be solo at that one,
okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Caleb Elliott, it has been a pleasure. Yeah, I really appreciate you coming on here today.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, and again, the debut CD that he had, Caleb came out with, Where You Want to Be. Also, check out some, you can check some things out on YouTube.
Absolutely.
Also, we're going to go out this last song, La Real Fauché.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us a little bit about that. We're back on the album, Cecil.
This song... Man, I We asked Mitch Reed to come play fiddle. Todd called Mitch and said, "Look, man, we'd love to have you play fiddle on a couple of these songs. I think you'd be perfect." But just do your thing, you know, and come on in. And anyway, he comes in, and the first thing he says is, "Caleb, the song that you sent me, Where You Want to Be, there's this old Cajun song called Le Real Fâché that fits perfectly over the changes. It's really a crazy coincidence."
Very cool.
And so we ended up recording him doing it to a click. And one day, Tony took that track and mixed the title track, Where You Want to Be, together, and came up with this thing that is now
very
Le
cool.
Fâché.
Le Real Fâché, Caleb Elliott. Have a good week, everyone. Thank you.